Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It is great to see all of you in one place at one time. Give yourselves a hand for being here. You guys are awesome. Absolutely. Woo. So it's 2017, a brand new year. And my hope for you is that you didn't wake up today with some horrible hangover of last night, football or otherwise. And as you woke up this morning, I hope it didn't feel like just another day, just one more day. I hope you're able to capture that, the joy and that freshness that a new year can bring. You know, even in secular literature, great literary figures talk about this new year. Lord Alfred Tennyson says this: "Hope smiles from the threshold of the year to come and whispers, all is new again." Or T.S. Eliot says it like this: "For last year's words belong to last year's language, and next year's words await another voice. And to make an end is to make a beginning." A few weeks ago, I was listening to the radio, and I'm not sure how this happened, but on the radio station I was listening to, internet radio station, a song came on by Nina Simone. Nina Simone is a jazz artist, and she began singing, and I thought, boy, this is exactly how I want all of us to feel about this brand new year. I thought I could play Nina Simone, but you know what? I've got a Carrie Miller right here, so why not Carrie? Let Carrie give her a little hand if you would. Just bring it out. Now Carrie's going to go, she's going to go a cappella on this, so here we go.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. The reeds drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new year for me.
Come on, sing it together.
And nah. I'm feeling good.
But you know, not only does the secular world recognize a new year, you know, really for us as Christians, a new year means so many things. It means new beginnings. In fact, that's our new sermon series going through January is new beginnings. New year, new beginnings, a fresh start with your life. Let me just tell you this. Just stay with me for a moment. You know, God loves new. If you study God's word, you look in the Bible, you'll see that God talks about new things so very often. For example, it says here in Psalms 33:3. When I stop, you guys jump in. Sing to him
a new song.
Play skillfully and shout for joy. How many of you guys today already you've had a little shout for joy? Anybody have a shout for joy? Absolutely. Or says this verse in Isaiah 42:9. God says this. He's speaking to the nation of Israel, but listen carefully to what he says. "See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they sprang into being, I announced them to you." You know, as you think about a last year, there may be some former things that you're thinking about from 2016 that are lingering or that are still in your mind. But let me just say to you, this prophecy from Isaiah 42, it's so fascinating because the new thing that God is saying is his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The new thing God is saying is that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And God's saying, "A new thing I will do. I will send my son to teach you about life and about love and to bring salvation." This prophecy is about Jesus, but listen carefully. Every person who knows Jesus Christ, who encounters Jesus Christ, feels the ripple of this prophecy in their life. Listen again. "See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare." That's the voice of God. And I think you can grab hold of 2017, meaning new things. "Before they sprang into being, I announced them to you." I was in church, a service similar to this one, in 1996. I was sitting in the front row right down here. And my dad was preaching. And as my dad was preaching, back in those days, we had a choir. And the choir would sit up here, and they'd sit there the entire service. And if you were in the choir, you could not look bored. You could not do it. Could not fall asleep in the choir. I know we had some old choir folks around here. And my dad finished the sermon, and a lady walked down from the choir, and she walked right down to me. And she told me something very much like this, Isaiah 42:9. She said this. She said, "Tom, something, God is doing something brand new in your life." Only a few days later, at my first conversation with my lovely wife, Tracy. "Hey, baby, how you doing?" Something new was happening, and that is not old, baby. It is fresh, and it is new, right? This prophecy, it ripples. It ripples in the life of every Christian that God is saying there are new things that I am declaring, and before they spring into being, I announce them to you. One of those new things, you know, God loves new songs and new works and new things and the new things he's going to do. But you know what? God also is going to create. Look at Isaiah 65:17. "See, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." Now listen to me, my friends. When you woke up this morning, maybe like me, you saw this kind of sunrise was rising. Let me see that today. It was beautiful. But you know, this earth that we live on now, one day it will pass away. Jesus Christ will return, and this new earth is going to pass away, and God, this old earth, I should say, is going to pass away, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth. All things will be made new. Amen? And let's just talk about something for a second. Let's back. Look way back into 2016. And you guys do a little, that cheesy joke last night when you pray the new year in, you're like, "We started this prayer in 2016. You know, you had that little, okay. My New Year's resolution is no cheesy jokes. Okay, fine. Well, let's look back for a second at 2016. We're going to look back. I'm going to have you look back at your life, 2016, just in a moment. But as a church, all of us assembled in one place at one time, one service, I thought I would update you on Spring Hills Baptist Church 2016. Let's just look back for a second. Here's some great things for us about 2016. We had the highest attendance we've ever had as a church. Amen. Go ahead. Absolutely. Yeah. Number two, you guys demonstrated the most generosity, the largest giving we've ever seen from our congregation. It was amazing. We had the most static of any mic in any service. We also had the most mission opportunities, both domestically, locally, and internationally we've ever had as a church. Let's give God a hand for that one, most especially. Most mission opportunities. We saw God working. We saw ministries are thriving in so many ways, especially with our children. And I'm feeling good. Okay, there we go. Hey, don't even miss a beat on that microphone thing. Ministries are thriving, especially with our children and our youth. Children's ministries like Awana are bursting at the seams. A new ministry this year, Gear Up, just began with a huge, awesome. Yeah, give a hand for Gear Up if you like to. Ministries are thriving and doing so well. Youth ministry just doing amazing. We're seeing so many great things. We had, as a church, we had an amazing year of seeing people come to Christ and be baptized. How about a hand for that? Just an awesome, awesome thing. We're able to feed our community and do more holiday meals we've ever done before. We have seen great things happen in 2016, just a great year for our church. But let me just say something about our church. 2017 brings a new beginning. What if that prophecy I just read from Isaiah was even God speaking to our church and saying new things? There are new things that I'm going to spring up. New things are coming. And I will announce them to you. Let me give you a vision of some new things for Spring Hills in 2017. A new opportunity in Utica, most especially, is coming away. If you didn't know the story or haven't heard about this, we were approached by the First Baptist Church of Utica with a very generous offer. They simply offered to give us all their building, their property, all the facilities that they have. They have no debt on that property, and they simply want to give it to us to use for ministry purposes. And so we're letting you know, a brand new opportunities in Utica, if you want more information about that. On January 8th, next Sunday, at 2 o'clock in Utica, we'll have an open house. You can come check it out for yourself. You can walk around the building, pray, look at it. And at 3 o'clock, we're going to have a vision meeting in that church to share with you our vision. Part of that vision is a 13-point plan that I prayerfully created that allows us to really see effective ministry happening in Utica. One point of that plan is that our very own Pastor Jeff Houghton will become the campus pastor. How about a hand for Pastor Jeff, if you guys don't mind? I know you didn't want that hand, Jeff, but I'm giving it to you anyway. Pastor Jeff will be the campus pastor there, and we're going to invite many of you. In fact, we're hoping for 100 people that might commit to be part of that new, that campus church, part of Spring Hills, not separated, just a simply another campus of our church happening in Utica. But we will vote on that on the, by the way, that's the address of that church. You can drive out, look at it, take a look. It's right there. But also we're going to vote the weekend of January 14 and 15 is the vote. And certainly we want you to vote your conscience to pray and really ask God, is this the vision that he has for us? A brand new opportunity for what God is going to do. There are other opportunities and new things for us in 2017, new opportunities to share the love of Christ. This year we'll have 5 specific mission trips going around the world to share the love of Christ and to give his love to others. One thing I'm just going to let you know about, I've noticed and I'm truly grieved in my heart, is that right now we are seeing a worldwide crisis of refugees coming from the Middle East and especially from Syria. Now, we sent teams to Jordan. They've done some great work in some refugee camps. But let me just let you know, this is truly on my mind and on my heart. Here's a picture of a refugee camp. This is over 250,000 people living in this camp. In 2017, I will personally go with Pastor Gary and some others from our church, 5 of us in total, are going to go to the Middle East to just look and ask God, how would you have us respond to this global crisis? Let me tell you why we're doing that. Because what I see is a convergence of 2 things. Number one, this great humanitarian crisis where God is asking his church, how will you respond? But second of all, what I see is the largest opportunity of my generations for Muslims to hear and experience the love of Christ. Amen. And let me just say this, we're not going to be left behind. We're not going to face God, and God's going to say to us, what did you do about the greatest humanitarian crisis of your time? We're not going to say, well, God, we didn't do anything. We're going to say, God, we went, we prayed, we looked, and we asked for your vision for us. Well, I'll be taking that trip mid-January to go and just ask God. It's called a vision trip. We're led by some very adept professionals there to look and say, God, what is your vision? That's mid-January coming up this year. There's also going to be so many other great things happening in 2017 for Spring Hills. We're going to be thriving. We'll see our ministries continue. We'll continue to have 4 worship services where we're really, truly, the idea is to worship God and his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? And here's an idea. 2017 brings the opportunity to know God and Jesus Christ in a deeper and more intimate way. To know God more. Let me tell you something about God and newness. Lamentations 3:22-23. The context of this verse is extreme grief. Oh, I combined 2 words right there. Grief and suffering. I said gruffering. We're just going to coin that term for 2017. This is not the year of gruffering, my friends. Lamentations is a time of extreme suffering. Imagine Jeremiah and the nation of Israel are leaving the promised land, and they're marching with tears and lamentations. In chapter 3, it turns. You should read the whole chapter. It's amazing. But Jeremiah says this thing about God, about knowing God more deeply. He says this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Maybe you don't know God to that extent. Maybe you know God is feel like God's kind of angry or kind of grumpy or that God's gruffering. See, I used it again right there. But the reality is that God's love is steadfast. Maybe 2016 was difficult for you. I've had some very difficult years, no doubt, in my mind and in my heart. 2007 was one of the most difficult years I ever had in my life. I won't go into why, but it was a very difficult year. My wife and I went to bed New Year's Eve, 2007. It had already become 2008, and we laid in bed together, and I was praying out loud. I was praying over that horrible year we'd had and how difficult it had been, and I remember just laying there in bed, just weeping to God in this prayer, and I felt this whisper of the Holy Spirit, and this is what the whisper said. We were going into 2008, and the whisper was this, 2000 great. I turned to my wife, and I said, honey, 2008 is going to be 2000 great, and she said, really? And you know what? It was. It was an amazing fresh start. Maybe 2006 was like that for you, a horrible year. Maybe you had suffering and an unending difficulty. Maybe you've suffered a tragedy. Some of my very closest friends who I love dearly have suffered tragedies. Maybe a difficult year for you. But God is saying, know me. Know my steadfast love never ceases and my mercies never come to an end. Maybe there's things that happen to you and 2016 that you're not proud of, things that you did, things that you said, the way that you behaved. Let me let you know, God's mercy is new, not just every year. God's mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Think about this idea. 2017 is an opportunity to know God and Jesus Christ in a much deeper and more intimate way. When I say knowing him, I'm really thinking about this verse, John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they, Christ is praying this prayer for his disciples and all those who will come, that they will know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. Now, just understand that phrase. The Greek word is zoe, and it has two meanings. It means eternal life, life that goes on forever. Amen? In heaven. In a new heaven, a new earth to come. But also means life right now. I have eternal life right now, life that is really life, when I know more and more deeply the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Who here might say, 2017, I would love to know God more deeply. Just raise your hand. I'd love that. To know God more deeply, to know his character, to know him intimately, to know the whisper of his Holy Spirit, to know his directing hand, to know God much more deeply. 2017 brings that opportunity. Now let's think about you for a moment. How was your 2016? Some of you are looking back and you're feeling pretty good about 2016. It was great. We had a great year. Maybe like our church, you're looking at a series of successes and breakthroughs and you're so excited about what 2017 might bring. Or maybe like the Buckeyes, it had a disappointing ending. 2016. Too soon. For me too. I heard someone make a noise. I will ignore. How was your 2016? Let me give you a little visual on this idea. Imagine for a moment that you're a traveler. You've got those important bags with you as you're traveling. And if I was this traveler, I might come into 2017 and I got my bags. I'm ready for this journey that begins. But the question might be, what am I going to take with me on this journey into 2017? Well, let's just examine my bags for a second. You see, this backpack is really what I pack and take when I go on hiking trips with my family or I do family stuff. I often take this bag, and I'm definitely taking my family with me into 2017 and my house and stuff like that. And this is my most often used work bag. I keep my computer in here, important files and all kinds of stuff. And I'm definitely keeping my job and my work going into 2017. But this bag is a little different. This is my old work bag I used years ago. If you look carefully, the handle is really frayed here, and I had it repaired. And even after repair, it's frayed on this end. You know, this bag might actually represent my past. Some things in this bag might really be important to examine before I go on into 2017. You see, in this bag, it might contain some old habits that I'm not proud of. Maybe old habits that none of you even know about. Probably most of you don't even know that I have this fiery temper that can come out in just the right situation. Oh, my family knows, that's for sure. Maybe you don't know about that. I don't really want to take that fiery temper into 2017. Old habits, maybe in my old bag there's relationships that haven't really been resolved or full forgiveness has not been worked through. Maybe that's how you are as well. You know, I bet just like this bag, you may well be carrying an old bag with you full of regrets, burdens, difficulties. And I want to tell you that the newness that Christ brings allows us to leave our old baggage in the past. Amen. Now, it doesn't happen automatically. You can't just simply say, okay, I'm leaving this bag, leaving it behind. You got to pray through these things. You've got to understand more deeply how life works to really leave some of these unwanted things in the past. Something important to understand about true change. I've been reading this book over the break called Victory Over the Darkness. This is Neil Anderson's book. The subtitle of the book is Realize the Power of Your Identity in Christ. And one of the things I love about this book is he goes back to the Garden of Eden. And he goes back to how God created mankind. And he talks about Adam and Eve and what they had in the garden, what God gave them This is what he says, what we need today as Christians that God is trying to restore. And he lists seven things. And I want to see how these things stack up to your 2016. He says, God designed us that we need success in our life. We can't live well without feeling there's some success. God designed us to have significance, to know we were important, that we can know God and walk with him in that very special way. He says that you need fulfillment. That's using your unique gifts for God's purpose. You know, everyone here is gifted, and God has given you spiritual gifts that he intends for you to use for his purpose. Amen? Number four, he says, you need satisfaction, which he defines as wanting what you have. How awesome is that? How great to want what you have. Number five, he says, we were given security in the garden, and God offers eternal security today for our souls. Number six is peace. And number seven, you might smirk at. Number seven is fun. We just talked about fun in church. Can you imagine that? Let's stack up your 2016 against these seven things just for a moment. His contention is God designed men and women that we need these things. Success, significance, fulfillment, satisfaction, security, peace, and fun. Hey, who needs fun out there? Anybody need fun? Does your 2016 stack up to these things, or does it really leave you wanting? Hey, go with me for a minute on a journey, a mental journey, if you will. And I want to travel ahead in time to January 1st, 2018, 1 year from today. That will be a Monday. We won't be together like this on that Monday. But think for a moment about 1 year from now. As you're looking back on 2017, what do you want to say about this year? As you evaluate 2017, what do you want to say? How will you look back on the year that we're just beginning right now? Here's my personal prayer for you, is that 2017 would bring these things. It would bring that success, significance, fulfillment, satisfaction, security, peace, and fun that God designed you to need. It all begins with identity. In the book, he says, to know yourself for who you really are. He links that, of course, to this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What if we did this? What if we dedicated 2017 as a church to these two things for our primary focus of study? What if we focused on these two things, knowing God and knowing who we really are in Christ? You might say it like this, knowing the power of our identity in Christ. Would that enthrall you to know the character of God, to know who God is and how God operates, and to know who you have become in Christ? Amen? Knowing the power of our identity in Christ. What if the way that you think and the way that you live flows from your very identity of who you believe yourself to be? And maybe you're living out of an old bag that needs to stay in the past, and you need to discover who you truly are in Christ. This is where all true new beginnings come. Let me say one thing. Some of you, I can tell as I'm preaching this, you're really buying in. You're sitting on the front edge of your seat. You're kind of right there with me. I see you out there. And some of you have that look on your face like I had last night in the third quarter. You're just not buying in, right? You're just not. That's my last football reference, okay? I apologize. You're just not there. You're just like, Tom, I don't think so. Man, my life has been the same. It's gonna be the same. It's not gonna change. I've shared this quote before. I really enjoy it. This is from John Eldridge in his book, The Sacred Romance. Listen to what he says. One of the most poisonous of all Satan's whispers is simply things will never change. That lie kills expectation, trapping our heart forever in the present. To keep desire alive and flourishing, we must renew our vision for what lies ahead. And let me tell you, as you're all assembled here in one place, I want us to renew our vision for what lies ahead. 2017 is going to be an amazing year for our church with so many new opportunities as God works, and 2017 has potential to be a great year for you. Renew your vision for what lies ahead. Things will not always be like this. Jesus has promised to make all things new. Amen? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard all that God has in store for his lovers. You cannot outdream God. Boy, you got to believe that. You've got to let the Holy Spirit renew your vision. It's not just going to be like it was. It's not going to continue in the same way, even if you wanted to. I was talking to my daughter Elizabeth about 2017, and she kind of scared me. She said, Dad, 2017 is the year that I graduate from high school, and she beamed. It's the year that I move out of our house and go to college, and she doubly beamed. What's up with that, baby? It's the year that all things start over for me, and it's all fresh, and she beamed even more. Even if I wanted to be like it was, it's going to change. Life is constantly changing, right? So you got to renew your vision for what God is doing and how God is working for what lies ahead. You cannot outdream God. Do you believe that? You got to renew that, rekindle that. God has such purpose for your life. You can't believe this lie. Where do we begin? I'm going to end this sermon before we begin. Number one. Get right with God first. If you want anything to change in this new year, if you want to leave any baggage behind, you've got to get right with God first. And I'm going to give you that opportunity in just a moment or two. It's about putting first things first. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God first. Put God first. And number two, dedicate 2017 to him. Thirdly, I'd like you to think about this. Think and pray through the changes that you need and the challenges that you face. Some of you in this room, you're facing a very unique set of challenges. You got to see those, meet them head on, and there are changes that you need. Let's just do a quick survey. Think about your life. Think about 2016. Who would say you would want something to change in your life in 2017? Just raise your hand. Who wants change? I need change. It's something to be new, be made different. Think through that. Pray through what you're facing. And I want to ask you, number four, come back next week and let 2017 be a true new beginning. As we talk about knowing God and knowing who we are in Christ and truly new beginnings that God wants to bring into our life. Let me read this quote to you one last thing. This is G.K. Chesterton says this. The object of a new year is not that we should have a new year. Is that you should have a new soul and new feet and a new backbone, new ears and new eyes. Unless a man or woman starts afresh about things, he or she will certainly be stuck in his or hers old ways. Just think about that. It's not really about the calendar change. It's about you saying, God, I recognize my need to change. Get right with God. Dedicate 2017 to him. Pray and think through the changes and challenges that you face and come back next week. I wonder if you could do this. I'm thinking of this happening individually and also for families. If wherever you're sitting, you might join hands with the family members around you, perhaps individually, and pray in this new year. That's a phrase I want you to keep. Pray in this new year. Pray through these things. Put God first. Dedicate 2017 to him and pray and think about the changes and challenges. In fact, why don't you bow your head right now? The praise team is going to come back. Carrie's going to begin to play. Hey, listen, there's room up here if you want to come with your family and kneel and pray, or maybe you want to pray where you are, kneel, or stand together, or join hands. But pray in this new year. Dedicate 2017 to him.
to say the empty places where I've worn your name. Show me the love. I say I believe. Help me to be where I die, my Lord, with thee crucified, be lifted high as my kingdom's fall. There is victory in my Savior's loss, in the crimson flowing from the cross. Pour over me, pour over me. Yes, oh, let this be.
Would you pray with me? God, we thank you so much that you are the God of new beginnings. And we celebrate that today. We look to you because you make us new. You create us new. We just take this moment right now to look back on 2016. And for some of us, God, there are times we celebrate. We give thanks. You also know, God, that there are those of us here, we faced some challenges this past year. And we long for something new. And yet, God, we know that even in the midst of the challenges, you are always faithful. And we can trust you. And as we look ahead to this year, we dedicate our lives to you. We dedicate our families to you. We dedicate our church to you, our ministries to you, and the new things that you're doing, because your steadfast love never ceases, and your mercies never end. We praise you, God. Thank you for being the God of new beginnings. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Maybe you're new here, and if you are, we just want to welcome you here. And we'd love to help you get more acquainted with Spring Hills. You can stop at the information desk in the back. We have a free gift for you there, some information there. On your way in, you should have received a card that says Happy New Year on it, a bulletin card. And on that, you're going to see the front side of that. It just has some simple next steps, ways to get connected at Spring Hills. Maybe that's simply just finding out more information. Maybe it's you want to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to help you with that. On the back, there's information about our ministries and programs that are starting, many of them this coming week. We hope you'll get involved. And then also, there's the ministry guide that hopefully you've picked up at one point or another. If not, make sure you grab one of these at the carts or at the information desks as you leave today. But that has all kinds of information about our ministries here at Spring Hills and ways to get involved and connected. You know, what I love about baptism is it really is the symbolism that a person is made new, that a person is a new creation. And we thought, what a great way to start this year by having a baptism. So I'm going to turn it over to Tom.
Amen. So let me tell you, before Wade Meisel's going to come down just in a second. All right, come on down. This is Wade coming down, and Wade actually will fly to Helsinki, Finland, to begin college in IT security. He's going to stop all the hacking. Thank you for doing that, Wade. We appreciate that. Come on down, Chris. And anyway, he's going to be there for college, but before he left, he wanted to be baptized. Now, here's a problem that we have had. The heater in our baptistry went out, and so I told him, and his dad, it's going to be incredibly cold, like little daggers stabbing you in the water. And he said, I just want to do it. But the heater was fixed. Praise the Lord. The heater was fixed. And we're like in a hot tub up here. It's awesome. All right. So wait, let me ask you, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Amen. Turn this way if you would. Grab your nose. So your father and I had the privilege of baptizing you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hey, stand if you would, and we're going to sing this last song together about the days of Elijah. Here we go.
Shining.
no God like Jehovah. There's 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 no God like Jehovah.
Today.